Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence in the midst, the covenant keeping God. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things which is gone out of my mouth. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We are enjoying your presence already, Lord. And we thank you and we reverence you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, you know we're going to be gathered here tonight. And so we thank you for that you have in store for us. Lord, we worship and we adore you. Lord, as we read your word tonight, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. See, the entrance to your word always brings light. The light of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has lighted every man that cometh into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. The light of life, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, over here, you know, we've been enjoying the book of Revelation for several months. You know, you can get stuck in a book of the Bible, and, you know, we just stay there, and God begins to reveal things and over the months. So in between, we have different services and different messages, you know. And so tonight, last week, for example, we have a different service and so forth. But we've gone far to the middle of the book of Revelation, to the 12th chapter. And actually, tonight, we already have two services on just that chapter alone. The birth of the man-child, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the woman clad, you know, cloaked with the sun. And then the moon under her feet and so forth. So, you know, all the word of God is special. See, but the book of Revelation carries a special blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Bible says, blessed are those who readeth and heareth the word of this prophecy. Amen?
Amen?
For the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. So it's a book of prophecy, and so forth. The Lord himself appeared unto the Apostle John and dictated most of these things to him and so forth. You know? So tonight, we're already in the 12th chapter. We talk about the sun-clothed woman herself. And we talk about the child that she brought forth, but we should have moved to 13 and go to the tribulation and so on. That, you know, we are living in the last of the last days, brethren. Amen.
Amen.
People may say the thing is going to continue like this forever. Even nature teaches us, amen. The events in the world teaches us. Prophecy taught us. The Lord in Luke 21 and Matthew 24 told us of all we are seeing in these last days. Praise the Lord. That you and I may be ready. Lord, begin to warn the church. Be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. For the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Wash. Amen? Don't ever take the word of the Lord lightly. Praise the Lord. He gave it in parables. He gave the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Praise the Lord. Because he loves the church. Amen? He wants you to be ready at his coming. Praise the Lord. So that's why, you know, so we must keep our attention and don't let the word distract you. So the Bible says, keep your eye on the Lord. So the event of the world has no titanic event. You know, the Lord painted a picture, a time of trouble is coming that has never been a time like that in the history of the world. And when it is over, there will never be such a time again. The Lord begins to warn. Praise the Lord. Let us give to the warning of the Lord. See? So tonight, we are seeing the third time in the book of Revelation chapter 12 on, you know, alone, the third meeting and so on. You can go like you will with. So let's see tonight. So we talk about that woman, Revelation 12. We find out from the scripture, you know, she is the, you know, the church of all ages and so on. That, you know, it typifies both the Gentile church. She typifies the Jewish church and the Jewish people and so on, that, you know, and just the people of God of all ages. So tonight, I can now see why a true Christian will love Israel and will love the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight is Israel and the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Israel and the church. I can't see why a true Christian won't love Israel. Amen? So tonight, in a very brief, first thing today, I want to talk about Israel and the church. So we will start this discussion from the perspective of the sun-clothed woman I talk about in Revelation 12, and that has brought forth the man-child. The man-child, another way to describe them, is the first fruit rapture saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The first fruit. There are all, you know, see, the coming of the Lord, many Christians don't know that there are not only two comings of the Lord. There are three comings of the Lord, actually. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The first time the Lord came to redeem his people. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the second time is coming for his bride. Amen. Mm-hmm. That will be a secret catching away. Mm-hmm. The world will know nothing about it. Amen. Mm-hmm. One day you're going to see CNN news. Many people are missing. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise him. It's going to come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
It has happened in history before.
Amen.
Two times in history. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24 that an Enoch walked with God.
Yeah.
And he was not found. They couldn't find him anymore. Amen. Mm-hmm. They were looking. They couldn't find him anymore. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the book of Kings, 2 Kings 2:11. Mm-hmm. You know the story of Elijah the prophet, right?
Yeah.
And how the shadows of fire caught him, and, you know, caught him, you know, and separated from Elijah. Praise the Lord. And they were asking, you know, for three, and you know, they asked Elisha, where is your master and so forth, you know, he's gone to heaven. They didn't believe. So they okay, go and search for him. 3 days, they didn't find Elijah, amen. Mm-hmm. They sent him, God, two, and matter of two or three witnesses. The days are near, it could be tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Worldwide, people missing and so forth, you know, it's a secret catching away, the rapture of the saints. The third time the Lord is coming, he will come with his saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight, so let's see quickly the church, Israel and the church. So Revelation 12, 1 to 5, and I read that. So I want to look at Israel and the church from the perspective of that sanctuous woman. So Revelation 12, 1 to 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. We elaborated so much on that in the past month. We don't have time tonight to go and explain all of those things, you know. And she, being with child, cried, traveling in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the top part of the stars of heaven, and they cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was cut off unto God and to his throne. The same word was, this was Elijah. It was cut off. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
One of these days you are going up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. He promised. John 14. If I go away, I will come again.
Amen.
And receive it unto myself. That where I am, there
Amen.
You and you may be. Amen.
Amen.
And then in Testament chapter 4, or the first one, then shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He preaching to us that we shall be with his people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, let's go to the subject. So previously, we went through many scriptures to indicate that this sun clothed woman represents both Israel and the church. And so now we can't go through all of that because it's too much. And that the woman, you know, the woman indeed had a beginning in the great prophecy back in the book of Revelation, I mean, sorry, of Genesis. Praise the Lord. Right here, that is the root of that woman, you know. It's a church of God of all ages, both Israel and then the Gentile church and so forth. So she had a beginning in the great prophecy, you know, in the Garden of Eden, in which the Lord foretold the enmity between Satan and the woman and her seed back in Genesis 3:15. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so, you know, so the church of all ages. So the sun clothed woman represents the true church. What does the church mean? Not the building or anything like that.
No.
The church means the called out ones. Amen?
Yes, amen.
You are called out of the world.
Amen.
Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Amen?
Amen?
You are called out of the world. Like Israel was called out of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Make your calling and election sure. Church means the called out ones. Praise the Lord. So, and the sun clothed woman represents the true church, the called out ones of all ages, whom Satan ever persecutes in an effort to destroy her seed. Like you see in Revelation 12 and some of that, you know. She was the church, this woman in Revelation 12, she was the church in the wilderness. when Israel escaped Pharaoh and fled from Egypt. That's what Brother Stephen said, that the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, the 38th verse, he called them the church in the wilderness. Amen. See, he called the Old Testament people church. See, call that once. Praise the Lord. You can go and see that in Acts 7:38. And this same woman, she is the New Testament church in her glory. Amen. The same woman typifies both the Gentile church and also the church in the wilderness. So God mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bible even said there was a mystery and so on, a mystery, a wonder in heaven and so forth. So I won't set that forth. Now we go forth now. So the sun clothed woman represents the church of all dispensations in the age-long conflict with Satan. And as shown in the fact that the great dragon, right? It showed the great conflict of Satan. Right from Genesis, the Bible says, you will bruise his heel and will bruise your head, right? The great conflict of all ages, of Satan and God's people. Praise the Lord. But Satan is a loser. Amen?
Amen.
The children of God, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we see. Now, that unclothed woman represents the church of all dispensations in an age-long conflict with Satan. And is shown in the fact that the great red dragon, like we see here, in the symbolism, has seven crowns upon his seven heads, and thus indicating the whole period of history. In our other lessons from the book of Revelation, we explain what that really is. Seven crowns, seven heads. What does that mean? We have had seven Gentile kingdoms, amen? That's from, from the first one was the kingdom of Egypt. Egypt first. Then the Assyrian, then the Babylonian, the Media Persia Empire, the Grecia Empire, then Rome, and then the last one, the Antichrist system. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what that is saying here. Can you see that age long conflict and so forth? So we see that one happened here. So the church, back to the topic now, the church and Israel are distinct and separate entities. We know that. Nevertheless, even saying that, yes, their destinies are interwoven anyway, amen. Their destiny, the destiny of the Gentile church and the Israel are interwoven in the plan of God much closer than anybody realizes, amen. See? Yes, separate entities, but we are interwoven. Israel and the church are, as it were, Ezekiel's will within a will, amen. You know, all the time, that expression we use it here, way within the will. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel and let's see what it says. So I say, the relation of the Gentile church and Israel, it's like Ezekiel's way within a way. There are so much in the book of Ezekiel about this subject. Let's go to Ezekiel 1, the 16th verse. Talking about the cherubim of the Lord. And these cherubim, there are four of them, and they have associated with them wings. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 16. So let's see how I say that the church, Gentile church and Israel, they're like a will within a will, distinct, and yet they are separate and so forth, So Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 16, the appearance of the wheels which are associated with these cherubims, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of berry, and therefore had had one likeness. These cherubim, they have one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amen?
Amen.
Have you heard that? A wheel within a wheel. And we jump to the 10th chapter of the same book of Ezekiel, the 9th verse, saying the same thing, So can you see now? The 9th verse of Ezekiel 10. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels, by the cherubim, one way by one cherub, and another way by another cherub, and the appearance of the ways was as the color of a berry, just like what he said in chapter 1, a berry stone. And verse 10 says, and as for their appearances, watch this now, therefore had one likeness, as if a will had been in the midst of a will. Praise the Lord. Now, we within a will. But look at what happened next in verse 13. Very strange is this, I know. But, So, in verse 13, the last verse I want to hear. As for the wills, it was cry unto them in my hearing. Oh, will. There are four wills, but he said, he called them one. Oh, will. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are four, but when they had a voice, say, oh, will. So, even though Israel and they are different, but they are integral of one part. Amen.
Amen.
He didn't say, oh, will. Did he say? He said, oh, will. Praise the Lord. So, they are four distinct ones, but when the voice cries, say, oh, will. See? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, the church and Israel are like that Ezekiel's will of glory. Cherubims and so forth like that, you know, though distinct, but they are just like, you know, integrated into one whole. So indeed, God's saints of all ages, from a common, they form a common community or commonwealth, if you want, you know, whether Jew or Gentile and so on, they form a common community. Distinct though they are, both Old and New Testament saints are related members of a whole. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why you love Israel as a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
As it's just inborn in you. Praise the Lord. And you know, my mother used to say something to me when I was young. No matter how, you say it cannot be so dark that you don't know your child, amen. No matter how dark it is, praise the Lord. You will know your son or your child's daughter, voice and so on. You just know. Praise the Lord. It's inborn you as a believer, amen, to love Israel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now, the church began. Now, don't forget this. I will use this language. The church began completely Israelitish, amen. The church began, in the beginning, completely Israelitish. And I explain. At the beginning of the New Testament church, the apostles and their converts were all Jews. Is that right?
That's right.
To the Lord. And therefore, Israel. See, at the beginning of the church, you know, if you look back, the apostles and their converts were all Jews, you know, at the beginning. So they were Israelitish, if you want to say that, you know. And it was not until the house of Cornelius in Acts 10, you know, if you look at the Bible closely, and not only that, and when only after God had educated brother Peter, amen, they didn't even know the Gentiles are part of the promise of God, amen. Even Peter didn't even know these things, amen. Praise the Lord. The mystery that was hid for the foundation of the world to be revealed in the last time by the holy apostles and prophets, amen. Oh, brethren, what you are enjoying, what kings and prophets, even so they should know and to enjoy, they didn't even know it, now revealed to us at the end of time. Praise the Lord. See, we should be rejoicing. Praise God. So anyway, in Acts 10, so the Lord had to educate Peter to the idea that, look, the Gentiles, you know, had to be admitted into the church. You know the story in Acts, you know, Acts, how the coming down of the, you know, the animals coming down and so on, had to convince Peter, all those things and so forth, you know. And so thus the church was in fact completely Israelitish in the beginning. So the church took on the Gentile aspect. We are talking about Israel and the church, right? But saying that distinct, but you are related, amen. So and in the end, you see what happened in the end. So the church took on the Gentile aspect only after the apostle Paul received his commission to minister to the Gentiles. You know, when he really called to the Gentiles. It was not until about 54 AD, I believe it is, when Brother Paul decided, 54 AD, Paul made that decision to confine his ministry to the Gentiles. Let's look at that in Acts 18. He was in the fellowship at Corinth, you know. I'll read about one or two verses. So Brother Paul was in fellowship, you know, I think missionary journey, he was in fellowship at Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And the first few verses, I want to read from verse 5. How the divergence, as well, how he left the Jews alone and just went to the Gentiles. In Acts 18:5. And when Silas and Timotheus, Acts 18:5, you can read the first few verses if you want. You know, it was in Corinth. And in Acts 18:5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was praised in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads.
Amen.
I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the thought of the church, then so people think today, when you think about the Gentile church, you know, they think that the church is just mainly the Gentiles and so on. No, not so. Originally, in the beginning, it was all Israelitish. Praise the Lord. So we see that in the Bible. So the church and Israel, we are told in the Bible that they are of the same olive tree, right? The same olive tree. Praise the Lord. We will take a look at that in Romans 11. Where? In Romans 11, we see that the church, you know, and Israel, they are of the same olive tree. You know, of course, Brother Paul, you know, what he went through and so forth in Romans 11, you know, he say, you know, verse 13, he begins to take of his authority. You know what he was talking about, amen? He said, when he got out, he said, when the Lord called him and so forth, I confirm not with flesh and blood, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where thank God for Brother Peter and the apostles. I just separated himself. He said, I did not, you know, disobey the heavenly vision. Amen. Pray. Can you imagine yourself alone, called alone? And all the big apostles were there, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Separated himself. Anyway, so in verse 11, 13 of Romans 11. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office, amen. Praise the Lord. What we're talking about was bragging on God, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God called him, no? He was confident. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so this same apostle of the Lord, and now see what he told us, you know, by the Holy Ghost in Romans 11 about that the Jew and the Gentile people, they are the same olive tree, right? So from the same place. So and he said that you know, in Romans 11, so here. Indeed, this is a symbol which represents both Israel and the church. This olive tree that it belongs to make us to know it represents both Israel and the church. In Romans 11:23-25, I will read what the Bible says to see how we relate to Israel as Christians. And 23, and they also, meaning the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. See? For if thou, meaning we Gentiles, if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wide by nature, and they were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall this, meaning the Jews, which be the natural branches, see, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that he should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. Amen. Praise the Lord. That we are, that the Jesus should be fellow here. We should be fellow here. Amen. What a great mystery, you know. So, and you know, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel, not forever, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Only the eyes will be opened. Amen. Praise God. So we see. So here, what we are reading, we see that God's plan envisages both Israel and the Gentiles being grafted into one olive tree. See, God foresaw that. He envisaged it, and he declared to us in his word. See, now this prophecy, is not pertaining to only today. We have Jews who are Christians. Amen. Like I said, the beginning is purely Israelitish, right? So this prophecy here is not pertaining to those Jews here and there who have received Christ. It has a much wider scope. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Touching the whole nation of Israel and so forth, that you know. So which is going to come. So during the church age, but this prophecy refers to what will happen nationally to Israel when the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. That will be at the end of the age. Amen. And now we are at the end of the age, brethren, amen.
Mm-hmm.
The God who can go to Israel anytime. We went through Revelation 11, right? The other time and so forth, you know. So the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. Look at the brief history right now. You know, in 1948, after almost 2,000 years, Israel became a nation again, right?
Mm-hmm.
In June, the Seven-Day War, 1967, Jerusalem passed to the hand of the Jews. After 400 years in the hand of the Turkish people, Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Prophecy has been marching on, brethren. The time of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Time to get ready for the coming of the Lord. In the book of James, for the coming of the Lord dread now. Amen.
Amen.
That is the message, the last day message. Amen. This is the most important time in the whole history of mankind. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us take heed. Let us take heed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see. So at the end of the age. So now, let us look at something about Israel. About Israel. So today, many people don't know this truth. When we say Jews today, who are the Jews? We are referring to only two of the tribes out of 12 of the Israeli people. Only two tribes. Praise the Lord. I want to expand on that really quickly because it's very, very important, you know, what we're talking about now. So, and so Israel was not complete without the Gentiles, right? We are not, you see, they're not complete. And the church, Gentile church, cannot disannul God's promise to Israel either. So, until the time of Christ, Israel monopolized divine favor. We know that before Christ came, Israel monopolized divine favor. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even to the woman by the well, the Lord said to that woman, salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is in John 4:23. We want to read that one and so on. Even the Lord himself declared that salvation is of the Jews. Amen. So they monopolized divine favor until the, you know, until the coming of Christ. The Jews did and so forth, you know. And so in fact, the Bible says that we Gentiles, we were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Amen. We were. Let me quickly read that one to you before I move on. So in Ephesians 2, please quickly. Ephesians 2. So verse 11. So I say that the Jews monopolized, you know, divine favor until the Lord came and so on, you know. In Ephesians 2:11, we were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Wherefore, remember, we Gentiles, that ye did in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Amen. You are aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. Israel monopolized divine favor all through that time and so forth. You see, that's what I want to go to that one. So we move forward. So we were just aliens and so on now. Until, well, let's be the beautiful one part of that. And a stranger for the covenant of promise. We were strangers, having no hope and without God in this world. See our state? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Amen. Today we have many bloodless so-called Christians who undermine the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't even talk about this at all. Amen. That we say we are bought by the blood of God. In the book of Acts 20, praise the Lord. See? Bought by the blood of God and so on, you know. Anyway, for he is our peace, amen. Oh, what a sweet thing. Jesus is our peace, amen. He's the Prince of Peace, amen. I don't care what United Nations did. I don't care. They couldn't do anything. Jesus, our Lord, is the Prince of Peace. There shall be no peace on this earth until Christ come again. Amen.
Amen.
Desire that they will go into a greater world. They're going to go to Armageddon and so on. Praise the Lord. Amen. They have two world wars. Innumerable wars are reaching all over the world and so on. That, you know, he is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Amen. But he is your peace. Peace I live with you. Amen.
Amen.
My peace I give unto you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Not as the world give I unto you. Blessed be the name of you. Can have peace in the midst of this troubled world. Amen.
Amen.
He let us his peace. Learn to use it, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's our peace. Bible says, it's our peace. You know, who has made both one. Look at that now. So can you see how we become one? Both Jew and Gentile. Praise the Lord. No, it's our peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, both distinct, like the will within the will. Yet we are of the same one body when all is said and done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God for all that. So yet Israel was not to be complete. Bible tells us Israel was not to be complete without the Gentile church. No. Nor was the coming of the church to make known in fact the distinct promises to Israel. We can't do that either. So it was when the scripture so in the book of Hebrews, the Bible revealed the Holy Ghost revealed the heroes of faith of the Old Testament, right? in the book of Moses, they are all testimony testimonies, right? In Hebrews 11, most of them, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Talking about the prophets and some of that, you know. But look at what did he say. You know, he showed that you know, that they have an integral part, the Jews did, in God's plan, you know, of the ages. But not without the church, amen? They couldn't. Because in verse 11 of Hebrews 39, Hebrews 11, 39, hear what the Bible says. And all these great prophets of the Old Testament and so on, all the exploits they did, you know, I mean, both, you know, and all, you know, and all this, you know, and this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not a promise. Why? They couldn't do without the church. God having provided some better thing for us, the Christian church, amen?
Amen.
Now, without us, they could not be made perfect, amen? See the providence of God, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thought they were the oracles of God. They received unto all the oracles, right? And the word of God, and all the great exploits of faith and so forth, you know. I would say without the church, they cannot be made perfect, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you see they are distinct, but we are one, what is all said and done? Grafted back to the same one olive tree. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In John 15, the Lord says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Amen.
Amen.
See? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see. I want to move quickly and just finish this one now. Currently, where? So the Jews represent only two tribes. Like I said, according, it's important. So what they call Jews today, there are only two tribes. Let me give you a background in history, and also backed by the Bible. Let me, that's the divergence. In 930 BC, 930 BC, 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, I can name them for you, Asher, Dan, Ephraim, Gad, Issachar, Manasseh, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, and Zebulun. They formed the, what they call the Northern Kingdom of Israel, all those 10 of them and so forth like that, you know. And the two southern ones was Benjamin and Judah, praise the Lord. Those are the two that are known as Jews today, the Benjamin and the Judah tribes, praise the Lord. Now, of course, you know, there was the, so following the, that came a conquest of the Northern Kingdom by the Assyrians in 721 BC, praise the Lord. And when that happened, what happened? All those 10 tribes now, they were gradually assimilated by other peoples and they disappeared from history till today. Praise the Lord. What a great mystery. Praise the Lord. All those 10, they just disappeared in that captivity and so forth. Now, that was 400 years before, about 100 years, before the Babylonian captivity, when Judah and Benjamin went to Babylon for captivity. Amen? Where those return 70 years after, according to Jeremiah, praise the Lord. So they return in the time of Cyrus. Amen? Cyrus let them go back home and rebuild Jerusalem and so on. But those 10 never returned to today. Praise the Lord. So what you are calling Jews today are just two stripes, you know. So why the Jews are Israelites? They are not the 10 tribes who went into captivity in Assyria and which have never returned. So the two tribes of the kingdom of Judah and Benjamin represent the Jews today that we know. But what happened? Those 10 tribes, are they lost forever? No, not in the providence of God. Amen. Not in the providence of God. So the scriptures indicate that there will be a reunion that will take place at the end of the age. When? During the national restoration of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
There will be a national restoration of Israel. Let me recap quickly in the book of Ezekiel 37. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, Bible says so. I'm going to come back, no matter where they are. So, 37 of Ezekiel, verse 15. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it, for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick, and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another, into one stick, and they shall become one in my hand. Amen?
Amen.
Prophesying, they shall become one in my hand. Now going forward now. And when the children of my people shall speak unto thee, saying, Will thou not show us what thou meanest by this? Then the Lord said to the prophet, Say unto them, thus hear the Lord. Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows. See, he put the word tribes of Israel, those 10 lost ones, so-called 10 lost ones, right? See, I will take them, and the tribes of Israel his fellows. I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, you see, and make them one stick. Amen? Praise the Lord. And they shall be one in my hand. Amen? Amen. Shall be one. They may be all scattered around, but we don't know where they are. And so on. Shall I bring them back? They shall be one. 20. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. Where they are right now. Amen?
Amen.
I will take them from there. See? I don't care where they are. And all they shall be no more two nations. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be the two nations anymore? And neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. See? Neither shall they divide themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant. Amen. And I will place them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. See? My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see, we don't know where they are. Only God knows where they are. But God has promised, and heaven and earth shall pass away, the word of the Lord shall not pass away. Praise the Lord. Bring them back again. So where the full understanding of Israel's place in the divine plan will not be fully understood at this time, no, until the destiny of the lost 10 tribes be made manifest. When with that destiny of the 10 so-called lost tribes be made manifest, we don't know. It will be revealed upon the secret casting away of the church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's where it will be revealed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just a little history like that and so on. So you can now see that we are seeing in Romans 11. Bible says, from the same olive tree, you know, and so on, the Lord is the true vine. We are the branches, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we come together at the end of the day, or at the end. So, summary, what I'm saying to now, I'm going to finish up now. The summary is that Israel and the church flow together in the beginning of the church dispensation. We flow together, we did. And there was a divergence only when the Jewish nation fill their cup according to the word of the Holy Ghost of iniquity by rejecting the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The cup was even told them by the Holy Ghost in Acts 7:51, ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and hear, ye do always receive the Holy Ghost as your fathers did do ye. You know, that's what led to the stoning of Stephen, right? Praise the Lord. He pricked them to the heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, there was a divergence when they did that. So, and we see in the book of Romans, there will be a regathering, you know, together in the same olive tree. So, and we see, again, one thing before I finish, you know, the one thing is this. This is seen also, you know, in the judgment seat of Christ, that we are going to be one again. Let's see in Revelation 11:18. When we went through that one the other time, let's see in Revelation 11:18. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward. Now, what should reward unto that servant, the prophet? Not only that, and to the saints, in it. To that servant, the prophet, and to the saints. And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them. So that's coming at the judgmental seat of Christ. See, we are all together again, you know, and so on. We, not for judgment, amen. Praise the Lord. Christ has been judged for the church. Praise God. Can't be judged the second time. What we get, our own judgment is that, you know, the reward for how you have fully served the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the church is not judged. Christ has been judged for us and so on. Because in John chapter 5, you know, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. He has passed from death unto life. They shall not come into condemnation or judgment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So you see now, they are all considered one great body at the judgment seat of Christ. In the giving of the reward, we are all considered one great body of the redeemed. Although their separate identities are retained and distinct, we are also told that Gentiles are the children of Abraham too. Amen. Let's conclude with that thought. So, if they be children of Abraham, so are we by faith in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read that and close with that thought tonight. You can see now why you love Israel. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, I'm talking of Israel and so forth, but to that also which is of faith. Of Abraham, who is the father of what? Of us all. Amen?
Amen.
Both Jew and Gentile. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Abraham is the father of all that believe in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And in Galatians 3:29, last Christian, I believe, one that we read. And if he be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, right?
Yes.
And here, according to the promise. So where is the division? Amen? No. Where is the division between the church and Israel? We are, there was a divergence, I'd be a regrouping and joining together at the end of the age, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that during the church dispensation, those who are reckoned as Jews are not those who are Jews outward in any way, but those who are Jews by faith, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is limited in Romans 2:28, we are told, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen?
Amen.
Very soft things, you can't go more than that, because it's the Wednesday night, but you can now see now, because before we go to the next chapter of the book of Revelation, we go to the tribulation time, of what the Lord says, worship therefore, and pray always. I cannot wait to escape that. So, I don't know when, depending on how the Lord moves, I'm going to go to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Antichrist and so forth, manifesting himself, the issuing of the mark of the beast and all those things happening. And the word takes itself for that right now. They are working behind the scenes, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy said they will sit behind the scenes and lie to each other on the tables, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As a thief, as a snare, shall they come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the heart, amen? But not to the legs. I will say, no, say, but we should watch and pray always, amen? That we may be accounted worthy. Let us continue to witness to the people and be ready, amen? Be also ready, amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a blessed people. To the world, these things are just parables, Lord. What? Take it to them in parables. In hearing, they will not even understand. You know, in seeing, they will not even see. So, but Lord, you have accounted us worthy to understand all these things, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Part of your love gives to us, Lord, that we should understand the things concerning the kingdom of heaven. We thank you. It's more than all the good words of the world put together. Oh, Moses, he accounted, oh Lord God, the suffering with the Lord is such few. More than all the treasures of Egypt. And what a blessing that was, Lord. Lord, today, O Lord, to the church of the living God, Lord, we are in the world, we are not of the world. Lord, where our treasure is, that is our heart is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. From when we look again for the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Unto them that seek for him, to them will he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Account us worthy, Lord, that in that day, Lord God, we have confidence according to the scriptures, and not to be ashamed, nor be condemned with the world.
Amen.
Grant it, Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So bless your heart. Our brother Benjamin is just doing the prayer session right now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know the prayer session and they have a prayer request. Don't forget, one, we chase 1,000. Two, we put 10,000 into flight. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, ordained it to be so. Yeah, you have your kind individually. He loves the congregation of his people. Amen. That's why he put a special blessing on when people congregate and pray together. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, Brother Benjamin, go ahead.